The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. This is not quite the 2000th celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. I don't know what year the first one was, maybe the year 30, perhaps, 31, around that time. So we're not quite to the 2000th time. So for 2000 years, people have been celebrating this great feast, remembering how powerfully the Holy Spirit came upon the people and how other people flocked to the church because something great was going on. They heard people speaking in their own language, even though they were Galileans who had never studied that language. And what were the apostles and the disciples telling the people? Well, the great events of God. They were telling them the story, and more people came to hear it, and more people came to follow. They became followers of the way of Jesus Christ, and the church was thriving. And we have to put in context, they were persecuted for many, many years, for centuries, because they stood apart from the Roman Empire and from the Jewish faith. And yet, the church grew. There was something about the power of the preaching of the leaders of the church and the actions of the leaders through the Holy Spirit that people said, "I want to be part of this way." So let's fast forward 2,000 years. What happened? What happened? Look at this church. It's probably a quarter full. This wonderful feast that really, as we say, was the birthday of the church. And so we should be packing them in. We should be talking in tongues. We should be able to communicate the story to people all over the place and willingly going out to talk about Jesus Christ. So if we look at the issue, what the reality is, it's our fault, really. And I would say it's more the fault of the leaders of the church that we did not constantly say what happened 2,000 years ago is still available to us now. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is still available to us now as it was 2,000 years ago. So we talk about the many gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the charism of healing, of preaching, of administration, of teaching, and do we ever really think about where do I fit in this scheme of things? Because this is God's plan for all of us. He wants us to have the same zeal, the same commitment that the people of the early church and throughout the centuries had. Now, of course, it's not true that through all the centuries of the church, churches were necessarily packed. But we're really at a crisis now when we look out and see really so few people here when the gift that God wants us to have is eternal life. I mean, it's heaven. There's no greater gift that we could be given by God. And if we want that gift, then we have to be the sons and daughters of God who go out into the world and proclaim it to other people. And again, we cannot say, "I'm not worthy." God makes us worthy. So it's not me doing it. So number one, we are worthy to do it. Number two, because we are adopted sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, we have been authorized by God to use the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and do great things, great actions, in order to grab people's attention so that we can tell them the story of salvation, so that they will want to come and say, I want to be part of this journey. I want to be a follower of the way of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. You don't need a theological degree for that. And so what are we trying to do? What do we need to do when we have to undergo constant renewal? And it's a difficult thing in the world today because of all the distractions we have, all of the errors that are taught as truth, of people saying this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, we may stop dead in our tracks and say, what am I supposed to do? Well, again, as I mentioned in Advent, my series on discipleship, we got to know the story, our story, which is the story of salvation and how we fit into it. So what is your role in it? Well, Paul says we're all part of the one body. We all have particular gifts, and those gifts are given to us specifically to us. They're not unique gifts, but we use them uniquely as unique individuals. So what are our gifts? Could we sit down and write out, okay, I know for a fact that I have this gift from the Holy Spirit, not only because I have a sense of God telling me that, but I've used it, and it is effective. I have raised someone from the dead, so I know I've got the gift of healing. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to say that? And yet we can. We can if we take seriously what the Scripture says, what we have heard, that God is giving us these gifts through the Holy Spirit so that we can do what Jesus did. Now, he is the head. He is in heaven, but he's also with us too, of course. But the idea is his physical body is in heaven. We are his physical body now, here and now. So if anything's going to be accomplished, it's going to be accomplished through you and me. We are his feet. We are his hands. We are his mouth. We are supposed to continue his work. And what did we hear in the gospel today? He says to the disciples, now first he says twice, peace be with you. Peace be with you. If we live in fear, if we're worried about things, we're not living in the peace of Christ. And in a sense, it's a commandment. Be peaceful. Claim peace. Work on it. Because that's what I want for you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, and think of all the things Jesus was sent to do and did, everything, Jesus continues, so I send you. So in one sense, we're the new Jesus Christ in the world. We are his body. We are supposed to be doing exactly what he did. Exactly what he did. Everything. He says it. He says, you will do these things and greater things. And the Spirit comes to us so that we can indeed do these things and greater things. So I'm not kidding when I say, there are people in the world who have the gift of raising people from the dead through the Holy Spirit. That's not over and done with. There are people who have the gift of healing. I suspect in this congregation right now, one of you probably has the charism of healing. So that literally, you have the power from God to lay hands on someone and say, get your sight back, and their sight will come back. I mean, that's the reality of the gospel. That's the reality of the Holy Spirit in our midst. You know, this is not just a great day to wear red and to remember how all these people were speaking in tongues and different languages. It's to remember that it did happen to these ordinary people, people who betrayed Jesus, and yet they got these gifts. And it's the same with us. Yeah, we betray Jesus, we sin, but God doesn't take those gifts away from us. He says, confess your sins, get up, and do the work that I have given you. And it's amazing work. So Think of it this way. What would you say if you had a very rare form of cancer and the person next door had the cure to that cancer but wasn't willing to give it to you? Wouldn't you be upset? Well, that's what we're doing when we don't take seriously the fact that we have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to use for the building up of the church, to do great miracles, to bring people's attention to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're denying other people what God wants us to have. Now, if you think I'm blaming you, I am. But we need to blame ourselves. And again, I say, the leaders of the church, we're a very wonderful institution, etc., but sometimes we get, you know, calcified. We do things in a very ordinary way, and then we simply don't expect God to work miraculously in our midst, right? We don't expect it. What would happen if we started thinking, I should expect it. I want to expect it. And I want to be part of these great deeds that can happen. And you can be. You can be. Now, I wish we had days together on this to talk about specific charisms and to do some praying about it and maybe to decide on one particular gift that you think you might have. It sometimes can go along with something you're good at. And then to actually practice that gift, go out into the world, and that's the big thing. Go out to strangers, not just people we know, but to strangers, and say, who are you? What are your needs? Oh, I think I can help you there. And then present that gift to them. And if we had that time, and we should really take that time, we would be coming back. A few people might come back and say, you know, I cured somebody of their hearing loss. Now, what would that do for this congregation? We'd be full every week. And the purpose of not is to do miracles so that people say, oh, aren't you wonderful? The purpose of the miracles is to grab people's attention and say, wow, what's going on? I want to find out what that's all about. I want to know your story, folks. And the more we tell them that story and the more they see blessings and healings and gifts being poured upon us, they're going to become part of the way. And just as we are sent by Jesus into the world, they too will be sent into the world. It's all possible, no question. I don't think any of us would really disagree with that. The question is, how do we go about it? What do we do? And again, I don't think the structure of our particular diocese is geared towards working that way, but there are many programs, many institutions around the country, Catholic organizations, that really try to help people unearth their gifts, to help them say, okay, this seems to be number one, number two, number three of your gifts. Start with number one, go out for a couple of months and literally practice it. So do it. So for example, if you think you have the gift of healing, then you got to find people who are in need of any kind of healing and say, may I pray over you right now? And if that seems daunting, do what Jesus did. He sent out people two by two, right? Not one by one, two by two. That makes it a lot easier because then we have another person there who's watching, supporting, praying as we practice the gifts that God has given us. So again, you know, here it is almost 2,000 years after the first celebration of Pentecost, and instead of people pounding on our doors wanting to become members, of people being amazed because of what they see happening here, we're kind of dying in dribs and drabs. Now, that's not God's will. That's not God's will. He doesn't want that. Because his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is as powerful, alive, and present to us right now as he always was. This is nothing new. But maybe for us it's new, and it's an invitation to go deeper. And as I said, we need help in that. You know, I don't expect any of you to sit down, and even if you Google, how do I find the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my life, that it's all going to be real slam dunk. It's not. But there are ways of doing it. And I think as a community, We need to come together to talk about that, pray about it, and practice it. Because doesn't the world deserve our faithfulness to Jesus Christ? Doesn't Jesus deserve us to be faithful to him so that we can do the work he gave to us? And the work goes on. You are the gift of God to the world. God wants his gifts to flow through each of you. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you struggle with, he still wants to use you as his children to proclaim the gospel and to use the gifts from the Spirit, because you are his body right now. There is no other body. Nobody else is going to do it. Pope's not going to do it. Poor man's in a wheelchair most of the time. But those of us who are here, we've got health, we've got our minds, we've got our knowledge. So how are we going to go about it? So I don't know how to leave you with this, because I want to say, well, email me if you're interested, and you know, I'll give you some pointers. I'll point you to a particular organization that focuses on this, and I can do that, certainly. And by all means, do. But take time, especially in this next week, to really take 5-10 minutes and say, okay, Lord, you know, I've heard all about this Holy Spirit stuff. I've heard all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know what some of the charisms are. I want to use them, Lord. I want to use them. Please help me to go deeper and read the scriptures. See where you fit in. See what is in front of you every moment of every day. When you come across someone who has a need, well, maybe that's the Lord saying, okay, right now, right here, this is where I want you to trust me and to be a healing presence to this person. And maybe do something amazing that will bring about a huge change in their life and your life. But it's a process that we have to keep reminding ourselves to engage in every day and to grow in it and to hold ourselves accountable. Partner up with somebody, 2-3 people, and say, okay, we're going to be a team. We're going to push each other to find out what our charisms are. We're going to use them, then we're going to come back, and we're going to say, this happened, this didn't happen, or I failed, and then get back out again to do it. Because again, if we hear those words from Jesus, Jesus is not sending us home. He's not sending us on vacation. He's saying, as the Father has sent me, and you look at everything he did, so I send you into the world to do everything that I did. So you continue my work. You have the power. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of God's continuing presence among us, and that his power is alive, alive as ever it was. So keep thinking about that, thanking God for it, and then asking, Lord, what are my charisms? God will give you information. He'll give you people. He'll give you conversations that will help tease that out. But we need to do that, not just so this church gets full, but so that people who do not know about Jesus Christ will come to know him, know the Holy Spirit, know their gifts, and be sent into the world just as we are sent into the world. Together now, let us proclaim our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.